not stand up and be counted. Stand up and show your face, put your name out there, and say, you know, look, I oppose these motherfuckers for this reason,
You want to know what? You want to know what? There could be a one-world government if everyone just believed that everybody's just a being in your hair and you're part of this planet and this is it. Yeah, one-world government or a Stupak-based thug life. You know what I mean? You live by your surroundings and you do and you live morally. That's it. Simple.
Right.
Simple. It could be one world government. It could all work out. It could all happen. You just have to take power away from the power-hungry people.
Right. Here's the problem with it. That's the whole thing about it. I have nothing wrong if these scumbags that hate us and want us dead and hate us for existing, weren't in power, that'd be a beautiful thing, to unite everybody and to get rid of the borders, go here, go there, enjoy this, enjoy that, no fear. We wouldn't have to worry about wars over nonsense. If two people have a problem, hey, fight a fair one. That's the farthest aggression should really go. And even that, I don't even see the need for it anymore. But I'm just saying, if it's really, say somebody fucks somebody's wife or something like that, okay, fight him a fair one, and now that's it. Either you be with her or you leave her. That's it. You know what I'm saying? There's always going to be small.
You just have an open relationship because there's probably good things that you like about her. There's just other things that she don't like. You know what I mean? So you guys could have a relationship. Relationships constantly change, and people could have multiple different relationships and still be happy. Some people go and ask the state for permission, and then they feel as though there's some kind of lockdown on this thing. Now you're married and you have to get divorced and blah blah blah. What do you mean? No, just do what you're gonna do. Live your life. And
take the word wife out of it, though. Let's just say, let's face it. Everybody's got an ego. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants someone.
I have an ego. Everybody's got an ego, right?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So, let's just take the word wife out of it. Let's just say, it's pretty much just like, if someone wants to live openly, have an open relationship, fine. If you don't, fine. But, it should just be your right to choose, just like everything else should be. We shouldn't be forced into anything. That's the basic thing is live and let live. That's what it comes down to. These people don't want to let us do that, though. They want to control. They have to steal our energy and everything else.
Yeah, well, I think that's what it is. I think it's control because it's, you know what I mean? They want, like that gives them a sense of power to tell you what you can and cannot do. You have to do this. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, well, who are you to say what I can and can't do? I'm a grown man. You know what I mean? I can do this. I can do that. If I want to drink raw milk, I can drink raw milk. You know what I mean? Or if I want to go and pay this woman, you know what I mean, to have sex with me, who are you to say no? Or if I want to go and do these drugs that your pharmaceutical company's putting out and you say it's illegal, who are you? What? I'm not hurting you.
Exactly.
I can do all kinds of illegal things. I'm not hurting anyone, but it's just a way to put people in jail and to make more money. It's all about making money. Everything goes back to making money.
And
it should go back to planting vegetables.
But I mean, the basic thing about it all, everything you just said there is, it comes back to those are, the means of controlling everybody. Here's the thing, most of these, so-called drugs, they're not the problem, they're not the problem at all. If people were just educated correctly and not with scare tactics like they did during the Just Say No campaigns of the 80s, when they told us, if you smoke a joint, you're going to be addicted, and the next day you're going to rob someone and do heroin. You know what I mean? That's pretty much what they...
Or you're going to be in a cocoon and wake up, and you're in the same place.
But, think about it. So, they told you that alcohol, alcohol wasn't demonized as much, although they did want you to think that our parents were all, piece of shit if they had a drink or whatever. But still, the main thing about that was, they were putting marijuana... on the marijuana. So here's the thing: if you went and you
the gateway
pot,
drug, they called it, Justin. That's what we're looking for. The gateway
drug. Definitely. But here's what I'm saying, though: if you went and smoked pot, and then you said, "Oh wow, everything's fine," and they lied to me and said it was gonna kill me and do this and that to me, but it didn't. You know, I had a great time. You know, I sleep great. You know, it takes away my stress. Well, you know what? They maybe they lied to me about coke too.
You might question other things.
Right. Well, so now, but it says if you're educated about each and every one of these drugs, so now if they tell you, well, hey, you know, heroin you could become addicted to. Marijuana is not, you know, is not something you can be addicted to. Cocaine is a good story, Justin, psychosis. You know what I mean? It's all about education, though. That's what it comes down to. We've been taught with fear, not with logic. And I think so many people would have avoided drug problems.
Justin, my daughter growing up, right? So she goes to school. So like I drive her to school. On the way to school, I ask her about everything. I'm like, "Whoa, you ever see coke? You ever see this drug? You ever see that drug? Any drug that I've ever been exposed to? You ever see mushrooms? How about weed? How about this?" I would talk to her just straight up, open. I would talk to her about everything. Education. If you just tell people, and I would tell her what these things would, like, you know what? And she's 18. She doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke weed. She doesn't smoke butts. She goes to work. She does all this. If you're just upfront with people and tell them what's up, knowledge is everything. And it's not spread wide. It's not here. It's not like anybody's trying to plant seeds. They're just trying to read curriculums and like make sure you pass an MCAS or memorize this shit. And that's how it is. There's no thinking whatsoever. None. It's not thinking. It's memorizing. No. It's two different things. If you can memorize how to do this, you'll be okay. But if you think, oh, well, wait a minute, we're going to question you, we're going to scold you, we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, there's things
you're gonna
against
be
that.
You're
like,
going
like,
to be
repercussions to thinking outside the box. I think it was like, I don't know, maybe sixth grade, I was like, wow, this fucking sucks in school. And then, like, eighth grade, I'm like, man, I'm not going to, like, ninth grade, I stopped going.
You school skipper.
My second ninth grade, they put me in a foster home to make me go. This is a kicker. This is great. The foster mother used to let me stay home from school and, like, plant a garden in the backyard and take care of the lawn and shit. But she used to let me stay home, so they sent me to this place out in this town.
We had fun in that town.
Yeah, I love that town.
I'd love for those days to come back at Westwood.
But you know what I'm saying is they sent me this place to go and learn the stuff that when I think about school, like the only things that I wish I would have done was talk to more girls and learn more vocabulary. But everything else is a joke. I mean, math, you know what 1 + 1 is, and you can do math. It's not that hard. It comes from there, and then you go backwards. That's math to me. And everything else is just like social skills. But they teach you just memorize this. All right, well, if I never write a letter, do I care where a comma goes? I mean, I know where they go, but do I care? Is it going to matter?
Well, if you want to post on Clues Forum, it'll matter. I'll tell you right now.
not if you're a moderator, you get special.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to know the difference between two and two.
And two.
or there.
That's one of the tactics they use to keep people away. It's just be grammar Nazis, you know, as soon as you get in the door, so you feel like you're just being attacked.
I've never gone on that site ever once.
Well, if you do, you'll read a lot about me, man.
To argue is fool is a waste of time.
It's the most bland piece of shit forum I've ever seen. Like, it's just it's so dated, you know. And Let's Roll is actually a lot better, like, in terms of the layout and it's just a very basic, like, forum.
I'll tell you what, and I have problems with, obviously both of them, but at least, like Let's Roll forums, like, I hate to be talking about, but at least there you can, like, bring up different things. Like, at Clues, if you even bring up anything that's not regarded as fakery, it's like, you know, you're a piece of shit and you have nothing. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know.
Look, the crew at Let's, I mean, most of the guys there are great. It's a great research team. It's just the mods and most of the admin and most of the mods, bar a couple of them. It's The most of the posters are actually a great team there. I never had a problem with them. Most of the good ones get banned, though. That's the problem.
Right. What happens is eventually, what's his name? Gets a power trip, and you disagree. If you disagree on one thing, then next thing you know, it's
next thing you know, you're getting blamed for the crimes of 9/11. And he's looking for legal help to sue you.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god, man.
How hard is it to sue somebody that you need like a team of people or something?
Oh, that's just to make you sound bigger than you are. It's kind of like, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got all my boys with me. What are you going to do now?
Well, punch him in the nose. Well, exactly.
We're going to pack up our shit and leave. That's what we're going to do.
But you know what? It's just like how OJ got off, though. When you show up with Robert Shapiro and you show up with Kardashian and Johnny Cochran, you know, the same thing. You know, whoever's got the flashiest lawyer. That's the fucked up thing about America, too. And I'm not even saying OJ is guilty because, honestly, I think there's... there's more to it, to be honest. But like everything else, though, think about it in general. Think about it the other day. The jobs like lawyer, do we need that job? No. All it is someone that is fluent in legalese bullshit. It's a bunch of – they put stuff in language that,
If you have enough money, you can get away with anything. It's an old fact.
Of course, but you see what I'm saying though about lawyers. You know, they take 33% of your money if you get a lawsuit. They take or more. They take anything else 40 winnings. And what do? All they do is they're fluent in bullshit, and they pass a thing known as the bar, which is just their license to practice bullshit. This bullshit, that's what it is. You pay for that bar, and now you're allowed in this,
to charge an over amount of money for the things you've memorized. We've seen it. Matt Damon did it without, he just memorized all these things in that movie, Good Will Hunting, and he got off of all the charges because he memorized all things in the past. That's basically what it is. Memorize things, and you'll be rewarded.
Well, the sad thing about them nowadays is, but you know what? If a normal person goes in there and memorizes those things, nowadays they'll tell you you still need counsel.
You still need this. Yeah, no, you don't. No, I don't really need this. I'm going to represent myself. But you need to know what's going on. Not that I do. I have no clue. I wouldn't. I'd be like, and they're like, well, leave me alone. I'm going to smoke my weed and spread peace. I don't know, but that's what it is, though. It's all about taking money anywhere you can. Take some money from court. Take some money from your food. Take some money from this. We're going to soak you this and make sure you die before any of the money you pay in that we steal from you and your Social Security is gone before you can collect it. It's a big pot, and I don't even know what you get out of it. So, okay, so after you get all this money or you have, like all this gold or all this stuff, what do you really have? Like, these people in charge, what do they have? What do you have?
Nothing. They're not happy. If they were happy, they'd be off living their lives and not fucking with us.
You know what they'd be doing? They'd be planting a freaking garden. They'd have this huge garden, that everyone could come, pear trees and carrots and
everything.
It would be like heaven.
No, they have those
marijuana trees growing everywhere.
Except me and you are not allowed there. We're not allowed in through their gates. That's the thing. They're not worried about this shit. They're not affected by it. They go to a special doctor once a year and get the metals taken out of their system that happen to fall because of the chemtrails. They eat organic food that they have grown by a special horticulturist in their garden. You know what I'm saying? They have these special...
I get the first thing you said, though, that was, what do you mean they get the metals pulled out of them? What are you talking about?
I think
metals pulled out. What do you mean? I have I have metals in my teeth from my cavities that I want to get removed. I also have a metal plate in my head from like when I smash my face off the steering wheel.
That's not coming out. I'm talking about all right, say the heavy metals that you're breathing in or whatever from say like, you know, chemtrails or whatever else. You know,
yeah, those beautiful pretty lines in the sky.
Yeah, yeah, the nice sky writing that goes on every day. Yeah, well you know, I'm sure that they go to like chelation therapy and have these they're giving the right detox things to make the metals come out of their body, so they're not getting the same effects. All right, as us.
Well, but essentially those detoxins are probably some kind of vegetable, I'm thinking, or something. Are what
it's probably based off some type of alchemy, you know, and that's the thing, it's all secrets, but the thing is, it's all secrets, you know, and they have them, you know, people like Tesla made them, and people, you know, there's all these
Tesla. Tesla is like one of the people that nobody knows who is.
What do you mean?
More people know about, like I ask people if they know who
like Edison
is.
And shit. Yeah, everyone knows Edison. Well, nobody knows Tesla, right?
A lot of people do. I think he'll be very famous, obviously, in Serbia, but like more in America. Yeah, it's more Edison.
But I ask people if they know who he is, and you know, and about this and this. Nobody here knows about that. Like nobody. Very, 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 very few. I get like two, and then one of them would be like, "Oh yeah, I heard of the Tesla car."
Yeah, exactly.
They named after him,
right?
Because of all the mileage you could get, right? That car. Yeah, okay. But people don't.
I think it's probably more in America.
But it's people that where you live know about it. It's more known.
You know why I think that is though, Billy and James, is because, Edison was an American, so I think that and he played by the rules. I think because we're so controlled in America that they want to just, you know, they just want to look, you know, tell us that Edison was
Tesla was a Russian, right? Who wants the Russian getting all the fun?
Right, pretty much, yeah. Well,
it's because
European.
He's American, you know. You want to claim him as being the, you know, it's like anything. It's just natural.
Yeah, yeah. Take the claim, and you just make people feel like, oh, you're part of something that's powerful. Okay, so this guy over here, this random being, was so smart that you, because you live in the same body of land as him, are part of him. You know what I mean? The whole thing. Oh, you're from here, you're from there. No, every person's different, and wherever you come from is different, and there's good and bad people everywhere. Right? No?
But it's like when, you know, 10, 15 years ago when you had all the Americans doing well in tennis, you know, everybody watched tennis in America, but now there's no Americans doing well, the men's anyway, no one really watches it over there anymore, you know? Well, it's like with the sprinters, you know, when the American sprinters were doing really well, you know, it was big, but now the Jamaicans are dominating. I mean, everyone likes Usain Bolt, but, you know, they don't watch it as much because the Americans aren't doing as well, you know?
Yeah, well, in the same sense, in each and every country, it could be like that if your country's doing good in something. But it goes back to the same thing of you wanting a part of commitment, like being part of something that's great. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is you, this is that, and this is me because I'm from here. Oh, no, that's not how it works. But people think it's like that. You're from the greatest country ever. We're from the United States. Ah, yeah, we'll bomb those suckers.
That's what people are told over there. You know, the greatest country on earth. In reality, it's probably the shittest country on earth. You know.
Yeah, I think it's like I do work with this Brazilian lady who came from Brazil, and she's like, oh no, this is the best country ever. I've been lots of places. This is the best country ever. I don't want to get into her about your food and this being poison, this being poison, and this and that. But you know, because I do work with her, that's a business, and this is personal. But you know, some people think otherwise, and I guess what's real to you is your reality. You know, If you think it's great, it's great. If you're told it's great, it's great. And until you learn otherwise, it's still going to be great. This is the greatest fucking country ever. Could be.
Well, it's all part of the division, really. You know, like I said before, I was saying off air, I think, or I might have said it earlier, actually, it's impossible to be patriotic once you know your government's trying to kill you. I mean, how can you hold your flag up?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same in every country. They're trying to kill us, you know. Most countries have fluoride in their water, and, you know, I mean, how can you be patriotic when you know your country's trying to kill you? Forget about it. I'm not singing no national anthem.
I remember I used to beat my chest as hard as anybody and belt out the national anthem, right?
Yeah, I could imagine you when you're drunk. I could definitely imagine you getting up.
Yeah, Brian would start singing it just like randomly. He was like, whoa, rah, rah, rah. I'd be like, look at this.
You know, to me, and like you might disagree, but I really don't like that anthem. It never sounded that great to me. I think a lot of other countries have better anthems, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We were just used to it, you know?
Predictive programming.
Yeah. I used to get into it, man. That'd be a song I would karaoke if I could, you know?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a quick break? Well, go ahead, James. Finish. Go ahead. What are you saying? I don't want to cut you off.
I'd say, I mean, you know, obviously I wouldn't say these things that probably, you know, in public over there, but, you know, it's nice to be able to say these things on air.
All right, why don't we take a quick 5-minute break, guys, play a song, and we'll be right back. You listen to Dose of Reality Radio, Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. You listen to Dose of Reality Radio, Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, James Sloan. We're back from the break. I don't know, guys, what do you want to get into now? I mean, we had a few other things. We didn't even touch it. Oh. We've been going for 3 hours.
Yeah, you got the echo one, I think.
Oh, sorry. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead.
All right, well, I think we should get into the whole PSYOP behind, you know, the whole gun control thing, and I don't know, you mind if I go first on this?
Yep, no, absolutely, dude. Take the lead. Go ahead.
Sure. All right. I've done a lot of talking tonight, but I'm sure other shows, Brian will make up for it, and James will as well. And of course, good guests tonight with Bill with us, but. Here's the thing about the whole gun thing. You know, I think the biggest thing, and I've been saying this since the beginning, is every time one of these, you know, crazy things happens, these unspeakable events, the 9/11s, the Sandy Hooks, you know, all these things, Aurora, what happens is we're losing another piece of, you know, of our sanity. You know, everybody is so scared that they're willing to give up anything just to, you know, make everything safe. And that's what all these things are about. Now, are there other agendas at play? Yes. Now, I think that, you know, fear is number one. I totally think that there's nothing better than having a populace in fear because you can enact what you want on them. But here's the thing. Now we're seeing, and we called this months ago, you know, what they've done now is they've created the Hegelian dialectic again, where the right wants, you know, no gun control, of course, and the left wants gun control, you know, and of course we side with the, or at least I do, I side with no gun control. But it's not even about that, because they haven't done any, you know, no guns have been snatched up. They didn't pass the assault weapons ban, which is bullshit anyway. The only things that are happening is in a few states, like our states where Brian and I live, is they have the thing where you have the clips are being, you know, you're not allowed to have clips over 10 shots now, at least in Connecticut, like New York, Mass too. But for the most part, it's really not changing anything. The main thing that is changing, though, is now we're having a fake scarcity problem. And so what happens when we have scarcity? The prices go up, right? And we've been saying this since the beginning. We have the gun lobby's been pushing it, been telling everyone, you know, go get your guns, get your ammo, this and that. Everybody's been pushing this. So now we have everybody's rushing out to buy, you know, guns in these new magazines so that they can be lawful with these new ones, or trying to buy the old ones so they can hide them or whatever. And so now we have a shortage. Whether, and I tend to believe it's not even a real shortage. I think it's like everything else, fake scarcity. So I think the main agenda, or the you know, like probably third agenda on this is to sell bullets. You know, to sell bullets, to sell guns. They want everybody. People, they talk about disarming America. Well, eventually they don't want us to have guns, but right now they do, because there's never been so much tension in America, maybe since the Civil War. Maybe, you know, Vietnam was pretty polarized, but again, in Vietnam it was mostly most of the young people were on the same side, and mostly just the old people. Now we're seeing, you know, two people the same, you know, two 30-year-olds are on the direct opposites of each other. So what's going to happen is everybody's divided, and you know, like everything else, we have some people that hate Muslims and other people that hate, you know, blacks, and blacks that hate whites, and, you know, and people that hate Mexicans because they're supposed, you know, they've been told that they're taking our jobs. Well, this is all neo-feudalism. It's a trick that's been going on since the beginning of time, and it's just turning the poor against, you know, the working poor against the, you know, the middle class, and against the people that can't find a job. And that's all that's happening. So eventually, you know, what happens when you have poor people? You have violence, and now you have guns in the street. What better way for population control? What better way to make people spend their money on, you know, it's all just a big scam, if you ask me. I don't know. You know, I'm all for people having the rights to have guns. You can't legislate morality. Criminals are always going to have guns. So everybody should have the, you know, and if cops should have them, we should have them. You know, it's that simple. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's not what everybody's been telling us. That's the main thing. The alternative media has been, you know, they've been right along on this the whole time, and you know, telling you, oh, they're gonna come and take your guns and this and that. It's not about that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think you were right from the start when you said it wasn't all about taking our guns. And, you know, you know how they say don't ever look at the magician's hand, you know, it's what he's not showing right. You, you know. Well, I think you were right, you know, the whole time. It wasn't about taking our guns, because now there's been a huge run on guns around here. You know, like I said earlier to you guys in a private call, you know, I was talking to a few people, and the gun sales, they're through the roof. The ammo, they jacked up the price. You know, it's a lot harder to get time at the shooting range, and there's on certain models of guns. I don't remember which ones. I'm not a huge gun guy. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't have any problem with them. I just don't know which ones specifically. But there's certain guns where there's like a year wait now to get them. You know, because there's such a demand for them. The demand's through the roof, and this has all happened since all these state shootings that we've gone in depth and covered. You know, like Sandy Hook and Aurora. And everything else, all the bullshit they do, it's really like a clever marketing campaign. That's really what it is.
Right. You want to know a real shooting from a fake shooting? A real shooting is somebody goes after somebody that wronged them, and they kill that person. Maybe one other person gets hit with crossfire. People, 26 people don't get hit. And I mean, we've gone through it all. We did the whole expose and the whole thing. But you know what I mean? Nobody, and they can say the kid was retarded, he was autistic, he was this, he was that, but I don't care who you are. Unless you're mind controlled, and that doesn't fly here, because that's just another, you know, you're not gonna go and shoot up a fucking school full of innocent kids. I don't buy that. You
and
know,
if you are, there certainly isn't gonna be websites dedicated to the memorial set up 4 days ahead of time, and the parents are certainly gonna cry when their kids get gunned down in school. I mean, anybody that wants to disagree with that, I'm sorry. I think you're an idiot.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
I don't know how else to say it, man.
Well, you know,
It wasn't just one set either, Justin. I mean, every single person we looked at the interviews, I mean, there was no emotion,
I know.
No red faces, no tears. We're not even talking about, like, if my grandfather died tomorrow, I'd be crying, okay? You gunned down my 6-year-old kid in the school unexpectedly. I'm going to probably punch you if you put a camera in my face, never mind breaking a tear.
Exactly. And then you guys remember a few weeks ago, they had the Parkers, they had an interview with them again.
No, I didn't see the new one. I didn't see the new interview. I didn't even know that they did it.
I put it in the Real News at the time. I tagged you guys in and put up. I thought everyone saw it. Well, anyway, they did another interview in it, and for one, they both look like drugged up out of their minds. But for two, again, no emotion. Just sitting there and just the way they're talking, and it just seems like they're just straight up actors that took a bunch of Xanax so they could make it through this and try to pretend like they were. You know, and they said they talked to Lanza's father, and that's when they broke out with the thing saying that this kid had a 7-foot spreadsheet with every school shooting on it, and he wanted to be the best. That's how they're explaining this away now. As an autistic kid who was, you know, never really was liked or whatever, so he was so good with all this that he created a spreadsheet and he wanted to, you know, he went and found out what guns people were using and, you know, he wanted to be the best school shooter. That's how he wanted to be remembered or whatever. This blah, blah, blah.
He was an autistic kid from their poison vaccines, and this is what he ended up doing? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
It's like a sport now. You're going after the record. Yeah.
Well, that's how,
who can come up with the best novel?
Well, that's what they're trying to, you know. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny about the whole thing. I mean, yeah, this is the same town, in Connecticut where the author from Hunger Games lives. So I mean,
that goes like back to Columbine, where these guys put out the TV show, right?
What do you mean TV show?
Which TV show is it that the Columbine shooting, people who were supposedly at the Columbine shootings,
Oh, no, you're thinking of South Park, but that's, no.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, they lived in a couple towns away from it. The thing is, Dallas Goldbug was trying to say that they're the shooters, the same shooters were, I don't think that's what you're alluding to. But I just wanted to interfere. No, they lived a couple towns away from
here. Doesn't lie, Justin. Come on, we all know the air doesn't lie.
But yeah, no, this nutty guy Dallas Goldbug or ColinTelPro is trying to say that Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris are actually I forget their names, but the creators of South Park.
Trev Parker and Matt Stone.
Matt Stone, right? And the funny thing is South Park was out before Columbine. So, you know, and one of the kids that, you know, how you know this? Because one of the kids there was, I mean, it was like over a year, 2 years, but one of the kids there was wearing a T-shirt with Kenny on it. You know, so, I mean, one of the kids that supposedly is another shooter or whatever. And who knows? I don't know. I tend to believe Columbine did happen. A lot of people believe it didn't, regardless of the fact it was created by powers, you know, above the, you know, the whole thing was, you know, it wasn't the work of these two kids wanting to be the, you know, to be the best school, you know,
how can you believe anything that's on the three corporate owned media stations? How do you believe any of that? How can you? You can't. You really can't. You have to question everything. Everything has to be questioned.
Of course. You know. And here's the thing too: is this year we've seen so many other examples of total fake news stories. Now, to me, I see the Dorner incident. I believe that was total bullshit. Never saw anything there. Now he supposedly killed like three LA cops. Wouldn't their funerals be all over the television? Nope, didn't see anything.
Yeah,
about
yeah, you never heard anything about it. Yeah, that was absolutely. He was a man, I think, going for some truth, and they just eliminated him, just like I think they'll do with anybody. Anybody who gets too powerful or is going to speak too much of the truth, it just gets killed.
Who knows if he?
Just,
but, Who knows
you
if
just,
he even
you
exists?
You just put a hit on him. There's people who will kill people for money, so it's simple. They're like, all right, we'll kill a president, we'll kill this jamoke over here, we'll kill this guy. It doesn't matter. If you get too powerful, you will be killed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, of course. No, here's the way they do it, though. Like, if you know, going that angle, this is how they do it. They usually offer you money first. You know, they offer you money or a nice cushy job. If you don't accept the nice cushy job or the money, you know, and then they'll tell you to say what you're saying, but tone it down and don't talk about this or don't talk about that, so that nobody gets any wiser. But then the next thing they'll do, you know, they can't throw money at it. Then they threaten you. After they threaten you, if you're still doing what you're doing, then they kill you. That's usually how that works. But no, definitely, you know, I don't know, the whole Dorner thing, though, it's very suspicious even in general, because we didn't see any of it happen. So who even knows what, you know, what's what? Who knows if even there was a
who even knows if it was real?
That's what I'm getting at.
You don't even know if that was real or if that was just another, it could be a ploy against guns, it could be a ploy against, it could just be all kinds of things. How do you even know? You don't know.
None of us know. My best guess is at it, though. I think it was total bullshit. I don't think it happened, but my best guesses at it are, for one, it was a ploy to get Americans used to seeing drones flying around. Because they have this dangerous, you know.
Absolutely. So this is how we implement you. So now it's normal, and we have toys, and we have this, and so now you're used to it, and now it's normal.
Because we have Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger combined in one,
and they look like LL Cool J. You know,
yeah, it looks like LL going and taking out the whole LAPD and. And is going to shoot down helicopters and everything else, so they got to bring down, you know. And I think the other thing was also for fear. And then not only that, but they had checkpoints, you know, just in the Los Angeles area. I wonder how many innocent people were arrested at those checkpoints during that time. You know, maybe they just needed some revenue. You know, who knows? You know,
back to the money.
Right. Well, that's the thing. With these events, there's so many. Usually they don't, if it's on the news for like more than once, then that means that there's a few different, you know, agendas to it. And you're going to hear, you know, one person's one news guy's job might be to present this part of it. Another news guy's job is, but they're all in, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we all know that, but you know what I mean?
They're all pushing the same thing. They're just going to put a different spin on it. I ask a lot of people, I say, hey, what channel, like I used to watch the mainstream media news, like I'd wake up in the morning and it would be on because I'd set my TV to it, like Channel 7, because I used to love waking up to Dylan Dreyer. She was so hot. I was like, oh. So I'd set it every day. But every day I'd wonder, why on my TV news do I see the British royal family? Who aren't even British, so I hear.
Right.
But why are they on my news every single morning? Something about them, like, okay, so nobody questions why they're on your TV all the time?
Yeah. I get, you know, the whole thing about it is because they, you know, like everything else, it's authority. You know, those are these lines that go back, you know, and like you said,
they're more powerful than you. Their air has more oxygen in it than the air you breathe.
Oh, exactly. No, that's the thing, you know. Why, if you know, you can sacrifice a million peasants for one duke, you know, and that's how it's always been. That's feudalism, and now we have neo feudalism where it's disguised in democracy and all this bullshit, you know.
Yeah,
craziness, man. Crazy. You know,
was the royal wedding really big over there a couple of years ago?
I had friends who were like, oh my god, like they were all about everything that had to do with it. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, these people are nothing. Like, will you care what they wear to this mockery of two people being united? Do you know what I mean? Like,
two cousins fucking each other. You know, that's all it is. You know what? You can get the same thing if you go down to the fucking Ozarks. You can get the same thing, except they have no teeth and they live in a trailer park. Same thing. Two cousins fucking. Yeah. I'll bet the people in the Ozarks would be a lot nicer too.
They won't do that stupid wave that the Queen does with her hands side to side.
Hey, I do that wave when I see people sometimes. So I do it. I think it's funny. I'm like, hey.
Well, that's probably the lizard wave. She's, you know, she's putting her hand together like a fucking, you know. Like the lizard.
You're going to die and go back to Mother Earth. Okay, well, shut up. You ain't nothing.
You know, here's another thing.
About it because they throw it in your face all the time. That's why.
That's what I mean. They program you. You're programmed. You're meant to think that. That's what it is.
You guys want to hear my other favorite fake story from this year was the we had an autistic kid. Let me start at the beginning. We had a guy that was in, Kentucky or some state in the Midwest or South or wherever, Midwest, South, West, North, whatever the fuck it was. Make a long story short, this guy goes supposedly and gets on a bus, gets on a bus and supposedly wants to take the bus hostage, all the kids hostage. So the bus driver, like a hero, supposedly stands his way, supposedly shoots the bus driver, and kidnaps one kid who is autistic, right? So then again, so now, why? I don't know what the big thing with autistic people this year is, but for some reason...
Well, it's to program you that it's normal.
Yeah, that makes sense. So check this out. So he supposedly takes this autistic kid back to his prepper. He's got one of those underground prepper things.
Yeah, he's got a bunker.
he did. This is you could look. CNN was reporting this. You know, this was all over the news for like a couple of days.
What green screen was this on?
I know exactly. Well, check this out. So then they supposedly, now this guy had this supposedly unpenetrable bunker, and they supposedly. had this 4-day standoff, and this guy was they supposedly let there was an air vent, and they sent down food, they sent down food, even, you know, supposedly he had peanut butter and jellies for the kid or some shit, and they sent down food and the kid's medicine because the kid needs his poison, you know, supposedly, and
his autistic medicine.
and then all of a sudden, supposedly, on the fourth day, I guess the guy was supposedly getting unstable. So they somehow break into this nearly unpenetrable doomsday survivalist bunker, just like you saw on TV.
Was it on Doomsday's Preppers?
No, it wasn't.
I watch that show often.
Well, this is the thing. You know, they want to demonize anyone that's getting ready. You know, here's the thing. Yeah, well, right. So check this out. So they supposedly, you know, this guy is getting... Now, let me add, he was a disgruntled Vietnam vet as well, who was anti-government. So to make a long story short, they supposedly were able to cut a hole in the ceiling, or they did something, threw in a flash grenade, you know, killed the guy like... like Zero Dark 30 supposedly killed Osama. And then the kid was unharmed, even though they threw flash grenades and all types of shit around him in an enclosed space. And then rescued the kid. And we've never seen the kid, never heard his real name or anything.
I've never even heard about this story. Break in there.
I'm going to Google it for you. I got to show it to you guys. It was probably about 2 months ago. But yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to bring that because it was totally. You know what's crazy is one of my friends that thinks I'm, you know, doesn't believe any of the stuff that I, you know, believe. Like, you know, he's heard some of my ideas and stuff, and he actually said that to me. He said, you know, talk about fake news stories, because I was already thinking. But he's like, isn't that he's like, you know, that sounds like a fake news story if I ever heard of one. And I was like, well, wow.
I don't know. Anything I see on the news, well, I don't even pay. You know what I do? I when I go to work, I drive to work, I turn on my radio and I put it on PBR or PR, whatever it is. Like, it's a public radio
NPR.
News. NPR, yeah, that's what I put it on. And I listen to what they're telling everybody. And you listen to it, and like, it's like, okay, so this is the programming they're telling all these people. And I know a lot of people, like sometimes they go to jobs and people listen to that too. So they're listening to this like it's words, like you know what I mean? Like it's truth coming out of it. The whole time that this whole thing, you never heard anything about the Monsanto Act on there. Not once. Not once have I heard anything about that. Like, it's so...
Nope.
I don't know. You know what I mean? They'll tell you what you want to know. Here you go.
You're not going to hear it either. That's the thing. You know, to them, Monsanto is just another company, and it's just, you know, business as usual. And, you know, and every now and then they'll report, you know, like a scandal like Bernie Madoff or something to make people think that there's still like some type of justice system against the rich. But, you know, if the thing was even, you know, true, who knows, maybe he even just took a long vacation. But if it is true, then he probably robbed the wrong person. That's all that happened.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He robbed someone who was above him in the ice cube pecking order.
Right. You know,
he got shut down, starved to death, choked out, and you're going to do some time.
I think his kid killed himself too and shit too. I don't know. The whole thing was, you know, it just makes you here. Check the link in the chat though, when I put it.
I think that's like a warning.
Jimmy
they killed
Lee
someone
Dykes.
Close to you, and like if you don't get the picture by then, like, hey, listen, you need to pay attention to what's going on, and you need to abide by these rules. We'll kill you too.
Oh,
but,
no
but
doubt
you're
about
more,
it.
Like, I think the people might like the people who that they do this to might be more valuable if they're alive, so they warn them by killing someone close to them.
Some great examples of that is in the entertainment industry. Eminem, when Proof got killed, you had
Kanye West's mother.
Yep, exactly. there's so many examples of this. These people, they make it through the whole part of their slum, you know, life in the slums and everything. Not Kanye, he had money, but, you know, they make it through this whole thing, but then they become famous, and all of a sudden they're killed by somebody. And I don't know, some of the people say it's a sacrifice, but no, I think you're right. I think that's their way of making, I don't think that Eminem choose to have Proof killed, but that was their way of telling them, look, you know, you're way bigger, Proof is nobody to us. You know, he's just someone, even though Proof was an ill rapper, I'm not saying he wasn't, but he didn't have the sales appeal.
Right, but he didn't have the marketability, Eminem was marketable.
He's not the white boy from 8 Mile, you know, exactly, the whole thing, you know. So I mean, obviously, and Eminem was out, you know, first and had the fame, you know, the whole thing, exactly, you know. It's fucked up, man. It really is.
Yeah, because Eminem was someone who was a lot of I don't know, I related to him growing up. Everything that I did was coincide with him. I had a daughter, he had a daughter, he got married, I got married, and we so I'm thinking that's like white suburbia, like or wherever I don't know where I grew up in, city suburbia, but I don't think it was like
what's going on
in this industry, like the industry of the population of your, you know, people have kids and kids having kids and like this and that. And you know what I mean? They just embed you with all this stuff. Pop culture is like what it is. Pay attention to it. You know what I mean? Okay, so, you know, being a gangster is hard, and you wear a bandana and you're in a gang. One thing I said, I never joined a gang. But it's like that's what was embedded in everything. Like, it's like, hey, go do this. This is what you're going to do. And then they filled up the jails.
Exactly.
And then they made harsh drug crimes. Like, what? No, what's going on here?
Yeah, they just want to fill the jails. I mean, so many people I know went to jail. I mean, look at Corey. Well, Corey went to jail for all those guns, you know? If they weren't pushing all the shit on us, he probably wouldn't have done that shit, you know? My cousin Corey got caught pulling into a school. I actually got tipped off in the morning by somebody at the school that the cops were waiting for him there. I tried to call him, didn't answer his cell phone. Or I think it was a pager at the time. He wasn't calling me back. And sure enough, he got bagged, and he had a trunk full of guns. He went to jail for, like, 5 years for it when he was, like, 16, 17.
Guns. And you know what the funny thing is the chances are, and nobody's going to die from those guns. You have to have a killer to hold a gun to kill someone.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
just because he has guns doesn't mean anything. He could just be, it's cool. It's like right, having a fat BMX, you know what I mean? Being a teenager and having a girlfriend with boobs, you know what I mean? Like, you're cool.
It's an accessory to that point, right. But you know, the major thing of a gun, though, a gun is a tool. You know, just like a knife is a tool, just like a battle axe is a tool, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, it's just a mechanism that's made to send a projectile out fast that can blow somebody's brain out, you know. But on the other hand, you put it in the wrong hands and you get something bad. You put it in the right hands and, you know, it could save a life. You know, and that's the whole thing about it. And I mean, and now they're shaming gun owners like they're shaming cigarette smokers, and I think it's more of the divide that they want too, though. You know, just like they did in New York, they put out all those people's name, all the gun owners' names or whatever, and
Justin, that's something we have here that they don't have over there. Is fucking the right to have to hold a weapon? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's I give it about 8 or 10 more years. I think by like 2030, you know, that'll be all gone here. But you know, except for, you'll have to like go and like maybe there'll be still be sport shooting, but you're gonna have to go and like sign one out at the range and then like give it back and you know type thing. And you know, the only people that are gonna have them is gonna be cops. But I think that's more down the road. I don't see it being like. Like next year, like every, you know what I mean? Like people are thinking, hey, you know, they want us to shoot each other first. You know what I mean? Why give up all, you know, why pit us against each other so much if they don't want us to shoot each other first, you know?
Right. Because it all goes back to big banks and wars, money and ammunition, and they're getting everyone to buy it. Now they got to get everyone to use it. So they have to buy more. Somewhere, right?
Yep. And you got to get people to practice. So then you know, spend all that money, you know, buying ammo, going to the range, and then it's a way to demonize someone too. So now if somebody has a crime and they have a gun, well, hey, you know, it just makes it, you know, it's just another add on another charge. Or, you know, it's just like everything else. You know, it's just more shit to put on your name. So now it's harder to get a good job, and now you got to settle for that $10 an hour job. You know, now you got to settle for that, you know, minimum wage.
Imagine that a good job was planting a garden.
Oh, it is a good job. It is a good job.
That'd be awesome, right?
Well, it is. All you got to do is you plant a garden, you set up a stand and sell them. That's all you do. You know, you sell it, and you got to have a decent plot of land. I mean, you know, like I grow enough just to have enough for the summer. We can't enough for the winter. You know, we have, you know, hot peppers and tomatoes, tomato soil, you know, basil, everything. You know, we had it last, we just finished the last jar of hot peppers from last summer. So, I mean, we're ready to plant them again. So, I mean, you know, and if I don't know, I want to do some raised beds this year too, you know. But no, it's obviously I'm not gonna have enough to sell, you know, any of the shit I make. But you know, that's the thing. We have to start outreach by, you know, you give go and drop some wall. You know, that's a great way to to give back and outreach at the same time. Drops them off at the soup kitchen or whatever, you know, and drop them off like fresh, clean.
Yeah, it would be clean local food. That would be good for everybody.
Right.
That's back to the basics. Back to local clean food. I remember I grew up like, I mean, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a good neighborhood, but across the street there was a canal, and then along that canal was a whole bath, and for like 3 or 4 years, they would, like, this youth group would plant a whole garden there every year, and every year they'd have so much food. It was, like, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like, what?
Oh, it is.
It should be everywhere. It's not there now. They don't do it anymore. I don't know what happened to that, but...
My grandfather had a garden growing up, and... This guy had everything that you can think of. You know, he had a field. This guy was strong. He was like a boxer, whatever. He used to like push the plow like a friggin' plow horse by himself through the field. You know, through this thing, till the soil every year, make beautiful plant. Nothing better than that. We used to go up there, get what we wanted. Everybody in the family did. The neighbors did too. We didn't, you know, he didn't care. He made enough for everybody. And, you know, that's how it should be. You know, that's how, you know, but it's such a different world. It's crazy from, you know, from, say 1990 or any time even before 9/11. I mean, obviously every year it incrementally gets worse every year, you know, every month it incrementally gets worse now. But, you know, think about it. How different is it just, you know, go back to September 10th of 2001 and think of how different the world was, you know?
Well, everybody's attitude's totally different, man. Everybody over here now, everybody's like a cheerleader for going and invading people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I have so many idiots on
my
friends
list. They call it the post-9/11 world.
Yeah, no, they do, they call it that, and people accept that, but they don't realize that it's a whole staged event to make them act like this. They think it's the post-9/11 world because people attacked us, when in fact that's fucking bullshit, you know what I mean? And you have so many friggin' cheerleaders, like this thing with North Korea, which we're going to get into a little bit once we wrap this area up. Like, you know, you have all these people that they're putting all these words in Kim Jong's mouth that I've never even heard him say. I mean, I granted, I don't watch it. TV as much as the next guy, but they're all like, oh, he said he's going to destroy America, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, did he even say that? Are they taking it out of context? I've yet to see any of them post a video of it.
I've never even seen him talking. I've said the same thing. I've seen him maybe mutter like one or two words, but, you know, I mean, you know, who knows what he said? You know, obviously, they're just, you know, they're making a villain out of him. And here's the thing about him. How do we know he's not just controlled opposition anyway? You know, you guys want to know something about Korea? North Korea is actually, it's all right, during World War II, the Japanese took over northern China and they took over Korea, right? So during that time, the Japanese, like secret society, you know, their royals, actually, you know, set up shop in North Korea. And so, make a long story short, they're actually, you know, the hierarchy, his mother is actually Japanese. His mother was kidnapped from Japan and brought there, you know, so it just shows it's like a whole, Asia is just like another whole crime syndicate, just like here, you know, and you know, so if Japan's our big ally, and you know, it just makes no sense how this whole thing is, and but it's the same thing how, like, in World War II, like, the Japanese were taught, you know, that Hirohito was God, you know. Well, that's how, like, supposedly North Korea is run. But we don't know that because we've only seen...
No, we don't know. But do you remember the Bin Laden tapes, Justin? Obviously you do. James, obviously you remember the Bin Laden tapes and the difference in the character in each one. And, you know, and you know, he's denouncing the attack, saying he didn't do them, and then all of a sudden people are saying he did and all this shit. I haven't even seen Kim Jong in front of a camera supposedly saying all the stuff about America. I just see people posting it like it's gospel because it came from the mainstream media. I haven't even seen him say this shit.
Right. Like,
we've also got translation issues.
What? Yeah, that's true, James, but I haven't even seen... like the interview that they supposedly translated where he said that.
Yeah, it's not even doesn't even exist.
Right, that's the thing. Because of the translation issues, what we could do is we could get American Koreans like that we trust and say, hey, you know, what is this guy saying? You could bring it down to the Koreans that own the liquor store and be like, hey, what is this guy saying? But no,
take
we haven't seen
get
that.
Out.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. this no library. but yeah, no, that's the whole thing about it. I was thinking the same thing. You know, it makes no sense how, you know, we haven't even seen a video of this guy supposedly threatening us. You know, and here's where it comes down to, too. The fact of the matter is we have sanctions on them. Like, you know, it's, I mean, who knows? Like, I think the whole world is
a sanctions
stage.
Only starve the innocent people.
Exactly.
Sanctions are garbage.
Sanctions are an act of war is what they are. So
absolutely. That's what they are. Sanctions? So, are you kidding me? Sanctions? Shut up.
Sanctions are coercion, you know, and that's what
they
we have.
You know, they should almost just be like, okay, well, the almighty powerful go in there and just murder the motherfucker and take over the country like they're going to do anyway.
Well, you know what I wonder, but how do we know that they're not already running it? You know, here's a kid.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, they probably
you know,
are, just like they do with these other countries where
they
put in people
opposition.
To run it, but then the people get, like, power hungry, I think. Either that, or they don't get power hungry, but they start to think, no, wait, I can probably make a difference, right? I can do something different, I can change this, this doesn't have to be like this, and then they go about their ways, like, oh, you know, doing something that's, you know, not the way they want it, and then they have to
right,
kill
like, maybe like a Gaddafi or someone like that.
Yeah, Gaddafi, like
that.
put Africa on some kind of different money standard.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
you know what I mean? And now, this person's getting too hungry.
There's a guy to look at. You want to talk about? Gaddafi. He turned Africa into a garden. You know, and so you want to talk about. How we
I saw that. I saw all the way the water was running. I was like, what? Look at this. This is fucking phenomenal.
Unbelievable, right?
That's how you just use knowledge and but
right.
Most people are out for evil, though. Not most people. Most people in power, I should say. I think that's what happened is when you turn good, they come and kill you. They kill you. Because I don't know. I think to play ball with them, you have to be somewhat evil. But then when you show your true colors and you become good, boom, done. See ya. Dead.
Right. And then again, you know, I totally agree with you 100% on it. And then, but a bigger part of me wants to think that it doesn't even matter anyway, that this has already been sewn up for an amount of years and the whole world's a stage and he's just going along with it. And they're not even going to kill him. They're going to pretend he, you know, whatever. Who knows? Like, who knows?
I hear what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Either answer is acceptable. I totally, I agree with you there. And I think that it goes either way. But regardless, all we know is that we're being told lies. That's the only thing I think we could say 100% is that we're not being told the full story. We're not being told the real implication, the real ramifications of this. We're not being told why they want to attack. We're not even, you know, like, and who knows even if they do or if they don't. All we know is that we're being lied to about the whole thing. Maybe it's just fear. Maybe, you know, it's just the thing right now to get everybody scared about while something else is happening right now. We'll find out about 2 weeks from now.
Keep everyone scared. Keep everyone scared. If you're scared,
yep.
You're just going to go along with
man.
What's, yeah. Woo! Hey, don't look out of your bed.
Don't look in the closet.
Yeah, we're going to desensitize
you
to all kinds of evil things, too.
James,
I think it's almost a reflection of the times now. Like, you know, back in 2001, they needed to at least show a Bin Laden tape, and then eventually it became audio tapes after a while. But, like, nowadays it's just like they don't even need a video of this guy. They can just say he said it, and that's good enough
for
people,
you
know?
That's because of 9/11.
Yeah. Ultimately, everything pretty much goes
people,
back.
Yeah, people will be like, oh, well, look what happened on 9/11. Oh, look at 9/11. So they let's go
right.
Get this guy before another 9/11 happens.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Their mindset.
This is 9/11. This could be 9/11, but this guy's got nukes, so it could be even worse.
Yeah.
You know,
don't,
that's,
you know what
that's
bothers
what,
me, too? Never mind just the 9/11. After 9/11, the whole fact that the shit with Iraq and then, you know, they pushed so much how this guy had all these weapons of mass destruction and we went there. It never turned up anything. Like, they don't question the news on that at all. Like, doesn't common sense just tell you that they're fucking bullshitting you?
who knows? So I you know, it's hard to tell what people, you know, it's hard to tell what people believe in, and hard to tell what people's ego don't let them believe. It really is. You know what I'm saying? So some people, I think they want to, you know, people have this idea that America is this last bastion of freedom, and they have this idea that, you know, and you can't change it. I don't know.
I tell Brian all the time, Justin, that people have this little bubble, right? And yep. They're in their own little bubble. And if you pop their bubble, fuck, you're gonna mess up their whole world, because this is all that matters. As long as this is how it's supposed to be to them, and they're in their bubble and everything is good, then who cares? Just don't mess with their bubble. Yep, then the truth comes along, and it pops the bubble, and then they have to think, and it's like, oof, some people take it some ways, and some people take it other ways. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Don't totally. Pop the bubble, though.
There's another issue here, too, and obviously it's not one that everybody can agree or disagree on, but the issue of nukes and you know, whether they could even be real or not, you know?
Well, I think they're real, but the question is, have they ever been used? Is more the question.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that the scientists are smart enough to create. You know, I just wonder, have they ever been used on a population? Is more my, you know, I mean, you definitely are you have good reason to expect that too. But my whole thing, I think that they're real. I think they exist. I only think that certain people, you know, countries have certain ones, you know, but I don't know. I think that it's it is a good question, though. Again, you know, how much of what we've been told since the beginning is just bullshit? That's all it comes down to, you know.
Well, I've never questioned nukes before. What, James? What makes you like? You said so. Do they really exist? Right.
Well, for one thing, oh, go ahead, James. Yeah, you can explain it better than me anyway. And he asked you, go ahead.
Well, it's just one of those things we've been told. All these countries have nukes. You know, Russia has 10,000 nukes, and America has 8,000 nukes. You know, it's like, what does it matter? Because they only take a couple to destroy you anyway. But, like,
right.
It just what we've been told about how prevalent they are, and like, I guess how good the ones they have are, you know, whether they could fire them from halfway around the world or whatever, or you know, just what we've been told. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that there's never been, you know, that Hiroshima was not real or a hoax,
or,
you know,
or just a firebomb, you know, which is what I more believe. Well, you know, I believe.
Like I was saying the other night, I was on I was actually just chatting on Chris's show. Chris Kendall's show, and they were talking about the same thing, and they were starting to talk about Japan, and my family goes back a lot of generations back there. You know, my mother was born there, she's from Tokyo, my grandmother's from there, my great-grandmother, all my aunts and uncles on my mother's side of the family are from there, and I've met my great-grandmother, and of course my grandmother's still alive, and none of them have ever once mentioned nuclear bombs or what they did when they went off. It's like, wouldn't that be a huge thing that you would talk about? Now, it's something that if it is real, it's pretty sensitive, and I wasn't going to question them on it, you know, but now maybe I'm a little more comfortable with it.
You should just ask them. Yeah, you should just be like,
they never mentioned
it. Like,
never.
You know, but that's something I would say. Like, so what was it like when the nuclear bombs were, you know, what was that like when the atomic bombs went off?
Yeah, I never heard a story. Did you see the mushroom? And my grandmother, not even my great-grandmother, my grandmother would have been plenty old enough to remember.
Got an echo on.
Yeah, sorry.
Or someone's got it.
Well, you would think that area would still be uninhabitable, you know? Like, look at what's... I mean, who knows the truth about that, but the whole Chernobyl thing, you know? Like, wasn't that area just, like, abandoned? Like, can't even live there, you know? Like, you would think that there would be far-reaching consequences that would still, even today, but you never hear about it, you know?
Yeah, what year was it that we supposedly bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
45.
45, so that means my mother was born in 58, so she wasn't born yet. But
so your grandmother most likely being the age, she was probably, or even 20s, because I don't know, my grandparents are late 80s, early, you know, be late 80s, early 90s, you know, some of them, and then the other ones would be, you know, anywhere in their 80s, so you know, they at least she's at least a teenager to maybe to anywhere but teenager between, you know, to 30, pretty
yeah,
much.
She's never mentioned it. I've met my great grandmother on a few occasions. She's come to America and I've met her. She's never mentioned it. None of my great uncles or aunts have ever mentioned it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying that, you know, that's 100% proof of anything. And it, like I said, I haven't questioned them, but they've never, I'm just telling you what I know is they've never mentioned it. That's all I know. They've never once mentioned these huge nuclear blasts that went off in their country. And they live very close by.
It was just at a time that it was so much easier to fake stuff. You know, there's not really many, if any, pictures of it. It's more artists' conceptions. And the pictures there are could easily be faked, as we know. And it's just one of those things where, like, you would never even know. It's the only time that it's ever been supposedly happened. And that's, you know, also why America's a laughing stock to a lot of countries. Like, you know, they're the only country that's ever supposedly used a nuke, but they think they have the right to tell everyone who can and can't have them, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is what supposedly started it all is them, you know, bombing Pearl Harbor or whatever, and any videos I've seen of airplanes dropping bombs on Pearl Harbor look totally fake to me. I mean, how do they have these perfect shots of these unexpected planes dropping bombs? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean...
So you can videotape the plane dropping the bomb, but you can't shoot it down? What the fuck is that? You know what I mean? That thing should already be shot down miles before.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, supposedly, I mean, just plain devil's advocate. Now, I do think my personal opinion on Pearl Harbor is they probably set up a bunch of empty ships and bombed a bunch of empty ships. That's my opinion on it personally. But going on it, you know, who knows with the technology back then. But it's not hard to set up a film studio right there and watch them bomb a bunch of empty ships, you know? I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion of it either way. But regardless, who knows?
You know which videos I'm talking about, though, where they actually show the trap door opening on the bottom of the plane and the bomb dropping out? Like, who got that video is what the fuck I want to know, and why that person didn't have the plane shot down.
We can't even get escape videos in 2001 from the World Trade Center, but we can get that shot.
Yeah, how do you get the shot of the airplane that surprise dropped the bomb on Pearl Harbor, but you can't get a shot of 50,000 people leaving the World Trade Center allegedly when there's already supposedly 52 cameras that filmed the second plane, but they all just decided to shut their cameras off. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's not film the fucking chaos.
Camera technology obviously regressed in 60 years.
In the media capital of the world, too, you know? So never mind the 52 people that supposedly filmed 175. You got all the people that came in from the media in the next hour or so before the buildings came down, and nobody filmed anybody. I am still yet to see one video of people actually leaving that goddamn those buildings. Haven't seen it. Just like the video of the, you know, there's like witnesses of the plane engine, like you always say, James. Haven't seen any of them.
No.
Yeah, right.
I call bullshit. Sorry.
It's just like that back to the thing. It's just like with what we know too. Like everything's so controlled. Like in the World War II, a lot of it was controlled. Like. They didn't need some big event to end the war. You know, they didn't need it, you know?
They wanted to enter that war, you know? They just needed to sell it to the people. That's all that was about. You know, just like 9/11. The bankers decided that they were going to fight a war to make Israel. That's what World War II was about. And pretty much that, you know, sad to say it, but that's what that was the it was to make Israel and set up the fake Cold War. That's what World War II was about, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it was real, you'd think there would have been a World War III by now, you know that. Because how quick was it between the first two wars? You know, like what, 20 years?
If what was real, the Cold War or World War II?
Oh no, just World War II. Like, you know, you think there would have been another World War, you know?
Well, I mean, there definitely was fighting. What do you mean? Like, are you mean?
Oh
like,
yeah. I just mean if it was totally uncontrolled and the outcome wasn't.
Oh okay. In other words, like you're saying, if the leaders weren't controlled by the same bankers type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hear you. Definitely makes it.
Do you guys think there ever will be a World War III?
I think it's. I don't think it's gonna be like a land. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna. I'm conflicted on that. You know, because on one hand, I think they do want, you know, they do kind of, because here's the thing, a World War III would enable the New World Order right away. Once it's over, then you, just like World War II enabled the UN as well, because they tried to set up the League of Nations before that, and nobody, there's only like 8 countries that were down, everyone else is like, fuck that, you know, fuck your little League of Nations. After World War II, it was like, oh, you got to get down with the UN or else, like, you know, you're going to be the bad guy on the block, and, you know, type thing. So, I don't know. It's hard to say whether there will be or won't. I don't know. All I know is I wouldn't be surprised if there was. That's all. I'll definitely say I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
Well, it's a different landscape now, too, because, you know, most countries don't have conscription and that sort of thing, you know, so it'd be a lot harder. You know, we're a pussified generation, you know, like...
Yeah, but all it takes is to sell... think about it. 18-year-old kids fight wars. 18-year-old kids are not hard to fool. I mean, I know you're only a few years older than that, James, but you're a lot smarter, too. You know what I mean? When you're 18 years old, like, think about it. I almost signed up after 9/11, you know, because I thought that we were bombed by a bunch of crazy Arabs that, you know, that wanted us dead. And I read so many like books on the official story and believed it for until I'd say like 2005. I started looking into it and been like, wow, this, you know, I read like David Ray Griffin's book, and that was that's what woke me up and made me realize that, you know, that it was bullshit, that, you know,
we totally bought it over here. Hold on, Bill, why don't you tell them how we used to spy on the guy across the street?
That was great. We were going to buy Matt spy gear to hear what kind of like terrorist actions he was doing. we fed so into it. It was like, what? How did they fucking, oh my God, what the fuck? If they could do that, they could do anything. They could bomb anything. What?
Yeah.
Well, fuck all those motherfuckers. And it all it did is entice racism.
Yep.
You label people by the color of the skin and their religion, yep, and that was it. And really, all people's religion is just, like, their way of, like, supposedly being good. Yeah. I don't know. I just call it moral.
Like, well, you know, like, right, it's, like, so crazy, you know. Wouldn't you think it would have happened again by now? Like, because look at the Ireland situation with the IRA and stuff. Like, it would be happening on small scales, you know. Someone would even just drive a car.
It would happen all the time. No, but you know what? Everybody's out for peace. Everybody's like me, you, and this guy over here. We all just want to eat good and get laid and be happy.
Not everybody's like that, though. I mean, not everybody. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to kill people.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. There's people who are like, goo-goo, but... And the majority of people just want peace. Like, people overseas, that most of them just want to live a happy life, right?
Right. Well, no, here's the thing. I think almost every... I think 99% of everybody wants to live a happy life. The problem is, though, the brainwashing of the mass media makes them think that we have to strike first, and a preemptive strike is a humane thing to do. You know, and that's why there is armies. That's the only reason why the armies... People haven't fucking... tore up their, you know, ripped off their uniforms and walked away, because we have this fear about, you know, the media keeps telling us about this boogeyman and that boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? It'll never end until we get rid of the media. That's what it comes down to. The media is the, you know, it's the fucking worst possible thing, because, you know, think about it. Think of what a joke America is. In 2003. We had huge rallies, you know, against the Iraq war, you know, like all over the country. There was like hundreds of thousands of people going to.
Yeah, you know, now there's nobody.
Right. And now that there's a Democrat in the White House, you know, doing the same thing with
a black Democrat at that.
Right. Exactly. A so-called, you know, liberal in there.
Which fools a lot of people.
It fooled everybody.
It's people not judging people by the being of itself. It's like labeling it with something. Like, you have to judge every individual as themselves. Right. It's like, boom, you were labeled, he was labeled this, this, and this, and we're putting him in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he was like, he was definitely raised from, as a kid, to be the head puppet. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, when you look back and you see, like
the bloodline.
Oh, yeah, well, totally. And the fact that his mother worked for the Ford Foundation and was over in Indonesia, helping overthrow dictators and shit, like, you know, with his stepfather, Lolo Sutoro. You know, there's so much, you know, and the fact that he was with the CIA in the early, you know, in the 80s and with Timothy Geithner's father, you know, there's so many ties to this stuff that is, you know, it's just crazy, you know, that to believe anything other than this, you know, that this guy is, you know, he's just a total plant, and people still believe in it because, you know, they just look at this guy and think, oh, what a nice guy. You know, the left looks at him and thinks, oh, what a great guy. And the right looks at him and sees Satan. So as long as, you know, as long as we have those two total different things, that we're going to be, you know, have a country so divide
and conquer. Yeah. It's so easy.
It is, and that's all they ever do. You guys want to real quick? Getting back to 9/11. After 9/11, I remember going around in my buddy's car. We were rolling around going to all around here, Pakistanis on all the gas stations. We were going to all the gas stations and fucking interrogating them.
Like, what have you been doing lately? What are you doing? What are you doing here? Who are you pumping gas to, huh?
Yeah, no, we were really going around and be, you know, and you know, ask them. So you're from Pakistan, you know? It, you know, you ever go to Afghanistan? Oh yeah. What do you think about Al Qaeda? I think it's terrible what happened. You know, type. Oh, you know, I don't.
They don't fucking know either. They have no idea.
Oh, I know. Well, they just wanted to sell their, you know, goods like anybody. You know, there's the thing. They're just over here, uh-huh. You know, and we're sitting there fucking a bunch of, you know, wise ass American kids. You know, breaking these poor bastards' balls. You know, I look back. I actually went and apologized when I found out 9/11 was inside job. I went to a couple of them and apologized. I went and I said, listen, you know, they didn't even remember because so many people came in and broke their balls. They said, you know, so they said they didn't
remember. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because like that's how deep racism is. Racism is like the ultimate weapon. It is. It's like if you can just divide somebody, which is what racism is. Is you just divide anything. Me and you, if I can split something up between us, then there's a power there. That's it.
Yep.
That's a weapon. Yeah, there you go. Now there's a way to conquer. You can just pick a side, and boom, now it's two against one. Simple as that.
Hey, Bill, you know what it takes? All it takes is for the media to tell, say me and you are both sheeple, right? Say, and we heard on the news that that Massachusetts, that Massachusetts has a bunch of terrorists that want to come into Connecticut, and you know, and fuck our women, you know, you know what I'm saying, for an example, and then they went and told
that
you guys the same thing.
By the terrorists.
Listen. Then they went and told you guys the same thing. So what'd you be doing? You'd be at the bar, and you'd be, hey, you know, checking people's accents, making sure that they're not faking the fucking Hobbit yacht.
Making sure they're not saying coffee, fucking smash their face in.
You know, that's all it takes, you know, a media with a little plan behind it, you know.
That would work too, Justin. That's a good point. That would work. And you guys, we're neighboring states, like, it's so ridiculous, you know, like, we should all, it's retarded, man.
If they told us that Springfield's going to come down and annex Hartford, you know.
Beings, we all come from the same place, Mother Nature, Earth, whatever you want to call it. It's all on the same way, everything. That's why I think this guy Tesla was like incredible.
He was a genius.
It has to have. I just want to know so much about that. Like that's what I'm going to like devote some time to, like when I'm doing nothing, which isn't that often, but.
Do you want me to add you to a group exclusively on Tesla? Like, have you posted? I think Brian got thrown out for posting about something else. Like, I think Brian posted something about like one of our shows.
Did I? I don't even remember.
I don't know. There's one Tesla group where they're like, you know, it's like the soup Nazi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you like go in there. And, if it has nothing to do with Tesla, like, that's it. One post. I think it's like a two-post rule. Like, if you two unrelated posts, you're gone.
I've been thrown out of so many groups and stuff, I can't keep track anymore, man. Goddamn Antichrist.
Why do you guys think...
I am Christ. Do you see my picture? I'm Christ.
Go ahead, James. What are you saying?
Yeah, like, well, we know that they love division and stuff. Why do you think that they push the homosexuality thing so much? Like, you'd think they'd be telling us to hate gays. Like, you know, what do you think their motive is for that?
That's just another, like, okay, look, hey, these people aren't like you. That's all it is.
Well, yeah,
why not?
Yeah,
let them be like us. Okay, let them get married. Who cares? They ain't bothering me. They ain't bothering you. Who gives a fuck?
It's another thing, James, and this thing a lot has to do with religion. A lot because so many people are brainwashed.
Thing.
Yeah, they're brainwashed by their religion, and you know, and they believe that this has something. You know that because that their religion doesn't promote this, that it's wrong. Even though if you know, I would think that if you were to look at like the teachings of you know Jesus or whatever, that he would say,
their teachings should be. For
right.
this
Turn
to be okay,
cheek.
but yet because of this one thing, no, they can't. No, they're so ass backwards. It's like, who cares? All these things say love your neighbor and do this and do this, be all this good, but no.
Right.
One thing says no. What?
Right. There's probably like you know maybe two or three verses in the Bible or something that you know talk about sodomites being bad or something or whatever. So because of that. You know, that's a good part. A good amount of it is based on religion, and the rest of it is just based on ignorance and people thinking that, like, gay people are allowed to be mainstream, that they're going to, you know, touch their kids or influence their kids into being gay. They think, like, you can be, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, because I'm not promoting that that's all right, but, like, you know, I'm totally for... You know, if you're gay and you want to be gay, fine. But I do think that there's, you know, it's a thing of they do want to destroy the family unit too. You know, which they've already done for years and years and years. Although this is just the end of it. I don't know. I'm not blaming gay people. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's put into your thought. Like this is okay, and this is how things go, and this is it. You know what I mean? Which makes you think more that way, but. I don't know. I mean, like, my logic on life is eat, reproduce. So reproduce means you need the opposite sex.
Right.
But,
well, that,
hey,
that's
if you
that, that's
if you want to do what you want to do, then that's up to you. I don't care
right.
what you do.
Well, see that's the thing too that comes into.
I'm gonna try to reproduce because I want my DNA to.
Right.
I don't know. That.
Well, everybody wants their last name and their you know everybody wants to see themselves.
I don't even need my last name, just my DNA.
But you know what I mean. Everybody wants to see a mirror image of themselves, you know, in another. You know what I'm saying? They want to see, you know, or some people want to live through another, you know. But regardless, you know, it's been told to us that you know, and it is part of the life, you know, to reproduce, you know, but on the other hand, if someone doesn't want to, you know, whether they're just fucking celibate or gay or fucking weird or whatever, who cares, you know?
James, you had something you were trying to say a second ago?
I just, because you were talking before, it's interesting about open relationships and stuff, and like, I'm not, it's not my thing, but I understand that, but like, Don't you think that it would be difficult to raise a child in that environment where you got all these guys coming in and having, like,
Well, that would be. You could also have an environment where you don't have all that. You just one and one.
Just to me, the thing about, like, I understand open relationships. I just think that, like, what do you do if one partner's not getting in and the other's getting all these other, you know, like, because it's easier for girls to get laid than guys. I think we all agree on that. Like, don't you think there would be, on average, there would be an imbalance? Like, the girl would be getting laid more than the guy would?
Most cases.
And here's the thing too. I mean, and there's also the example of couples that are swingers, you know, and they go and they bring another couple in, and they have a good weekend, fucking each other's brains out, and then they maybe call them up again 3 months later, you know, to each his own, you know. But you know, I don't know. I personally wouldn't be happy in an open relationship. Some people, you know,
like, you know, damage, like, psychologically to the kid, like, having to see that, is that kind of what you're getting at, James? I think it's just as damaging
to
see the two parents bickering and fighting all the time. I think
all it takes is, if you think about it, jealousy is something that is very easy in a relationship. So, for example, I just said a swinger situation. The girl is hot and the guy starts liking her more than his wife.
This is all just our interpretation of what right is. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, there is
your interpretation, right. We think is right or wrong. Like, okay, so who are you to really say? I mean,
I agree with that. I just think that basically, you know, that's kind of wanting to have your cake and eat it as well. Like, I just think it's not really a relationship, to be honest. Like, but you know, if people want to do that, that's fine. I think if we got to a certain point, I mean, I just don't see how you could raise children in that environment. I think children need a mum and a dad who are together and not playing away, you know.
I think so. I agree with you too.
Yeah, well, I mean, teach kids the right way, but
if you think about
crazy,
it, I mean,
how things go in this world. This world is a crazy world. Everything.
But then again, you know, a lot of parents are probably cheating as well. You know, they're just doing it unofficially.
Ring ding dong, bingo, bingo. That happens more often than not. You know, and that's just as
right.
You know, that sucks for the kid too, just as bad, I would think.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, obviously, I was a product of that. You know,
most of us were.
Well. I mean, I think it's a bit over the top to say most people cheat. I mean,
I don't know. That's over the top. It's not over the top than to say most women will get laid more than most guys. It's just the same kind.
I don't cheat. I mean,
Tell you what. In America, I would say eventually 50% of relationships end up just like a divorce. I would say 50% end up, you know, with somebody.
Yeah.
And then I would say
it's probably half. I don't know about most though. That's like, but over the top.
Yeah, it's
I'm just
half,
going
definitely.
By what I know. Like, I don't have a lot of girlfriends. I mean, I have a lot of girls or whatever, but not like, you know, serious relationships. You know, I could probably count them on one hand, but like. Everyone that I've been in, with the exception of maybe one, has cheated on me, and I know for a fact they have. I'm not even talking just suspicion. I'm talking knowing for a fact that they have. Every single one but one, I think, has cheated on me, and that's why I am the way I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. I think you would just have to have been in thousands and thousands to be able to make a judgment on that. You know, we only can make judgments based on our own experience.
No, but if I've gone out with five people, and say Billy's gone out with five people, and my other friend's gone out with five people, and my other friend's gone out with five people, and I talk to all of them, and all of them are three or four out of five of their girlfriends cheated on them, I think you can make a pretty good statistic out of that.
Yeah, that's how they make statistics and manipulate.
You know what that makes me think?
That your girlfriend's probably
all girls. That all girls in Lowell, Mass are whores.
I already told you they were. Come on down.
Hey, what I'm going with is, like, you shouldn't put a label on anything, and, like, you should be able to try out whatever you want to try out, and, like, it's you only live once, so,
cool.
Hey,
cool.
maybe this person wants to meet this person, or, like, who you just judge? Shut up, leave them alone, and just be on your own business, and mind your own business.
I gotta give Justin a round of applause for that comment. Well, I think
I think he might be onto something though, because I mean,
if the girls are whores, then we're all whores too.
Well, there's no, there's nobody worse.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so
no, I was just saying, if it was only the guys getting cheated,
that's like labeling people, or you're this, you're that. No.
Well, the guys have got to be just as bad.
I know some girls that are straight up whores.
What do you mean just as bad? Who are you to say just as bad though? Like, well, all right, so okay, because you do something your way, the people who do something this way are different. No.
No, but I think you would agree that if women cheat, men do as well. I mean, what I'm saying is, I think it'd be definitive to say that I wouldn't say that more women cheat than men cheat. I mean, I think it would be about the same.
I would think, like, dummies cheat, because you should just break up and do what the hell you want to do.
Yeah, but it's...
No, but statistically,
if you
want
to be with someone else, why be with that person? Why lie to them? That's, like, okay, so if you're going to speak the truth about this or that and the other thing, you might as well speak the truth about that, too. Like, just don't make a commitment, because you can't commit, so don't make a commitment. That's it. Just do your life and...
That makes sense, but what about the people that want their cake and eat it, too? They want... That girl, I know plenty of people.
They're asking too much.
Don't worry. We'll see them in divorce court.
They're asking too much.
See him on Maury.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, who's the father? What? Like, okay, why bother? Why do you go to that extreme? I don't know.
But I do think that people, you know, I don't know. People are definitely fucked up from mass. Think about what's glorified.
Classification, bam.
No, you've
been labeled massive.
I said mass media. I cut myself off. Hold on, real quick, James. Let me talk. Then you talk. Because I was halfway spitting it out. I was just gonna say, like, think about like what's cool on TV nowadays. Teenage pregnancy shows.
I tell my kid that's garbage. Hey, this is garbage. You know, you're watching. This is poison for your brain. I tell her.
Right. Well, you're one of the smart fathers.
I want to see like this dance crap. I'm like, this is fucking garbage. And I watch it and I like criticize it. I pick it apart.
Most of us, particularly myself, on the tail end of it, grew up in a golden age of music and television, particularly you know, children's television was definitely a lot better. I mean, I've seen the politically correct garbage that my nephew watches, and it's not a patch on the 90s shows that I watched as a kid. But, you know, I think we can blurt out all the stats we want, but I think the thing I'm more and more coming to, and it's unfortunate because I want nothing more than this, but I think humans just aren't built for monogamous relationships. I don't think we're built for it, because I think they don't work for one reason or another. They don't. Whether it's the environment we're in now, whether they worked once upon a time.
It's the environment. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think back in the day, you see, here's the thing. I don't know, because a lot of times back in the day, like, say, like my grandparents, you know, they hated each other, but they stayed together forever. Is that good or bad? I don't know. You know, I mean, would they have been more?
They hated each other. I don't think that's good. But I mean, you know, it might become a custom and they're used to it.
If you want my
opinion, it's not good.
I had some ex-girlfriend
tell me I'm going to die a lonely old man.
but
I'm going to be happy, though.
I think divorce
was frowned upon, too. Divorce was frowned upon more back then. It wasn't socially acceptable.
No doubt. Listen to this. My grandfather's sister died, and they wouldn't bury her in the Catholic Church because she was divorced because her husband used to beat the shit out.
Yeah, the Catholic Church. That's a joke.
That's
just a way to save, like, not taxed on what you're doing. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pull this system where I'm gonna collect money, and I'm not gonna get taxed on it. And we're gonna make
people
do what we say.
All organized religion's a joke, obviously. I'm just saying though, that was the custom back then, especially, you know.
Yeah,
if
everybody
Italian
believed
or
it.
Irish, and whatever, you know.
Well,
if if you're you know, from that time period, and then of course you had the 60s, which changed all that, you know, in the 60s with all the free love and drugs and everything. And now you had, you know, so I mean, I don't know. I can't say whether it's better, whether it's better for people to cheat on each other and to,
no, I don't think.
I don't think anybody here is saying it's good for people to cheat on each other.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying though, I don't know if it's better for someone to end up being divorced three times.
It's better to be upfront and be honest about what you're doing, and then to be pretend, you know, to stay with somebody just for the sake of staying with them, but cheat on them behind their back.
I totally agree with you. I'm kind of just giving both sides of the thing. I'm not really saying I agree with either side, you know, because I think there's, I'm saying what is better is what, you know, I don't know. I think they both have their good things and they both have their drawbacks is what I'm saying. And I don't know. I do think that regardless, back in the day, when parents stayed together, then the kids ended up happier at least. And, you know, I don't know, the parents might've been miserable. I don't know.
How do you say they ended up happy? You don't know that because they didn't experience the other way. They only experienced that one way, and they were happy that way. But there's kids that could experience it the other way and be happy. So who are you to say, one way or another way? You can't, because my kid had two houses and two parents and two, you know what I mean? And she's pretty happy right now. I think I want to say she's happy. I mean, I could be wrong. You could ask her. No.
But Billy, that's different than what I'm saying though. See, what you're saying is like an arrangement where it's like, not, you know, like I'm talking about the, like where like for example, like all right, I'll say my situation growing up where my father decided to cheat on my mother and it caused a big fucking uproar all of a sudden, you know, and you know what I'm saying?
And they're under the same roof.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And then they ended up getting divorced when I'm, you know, 12, 13 years old, and I ended up, my father left, so I did what I wanted to because I said, fuck you, you know, what are you, you know what I mean, type thing. And, you know, so I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's drawback. You know, nowadays people are learning how to live with two family households. You know what I'm saying? People are learning, you know, and obviously, you know, there's good parents and bad parents. You're a good parent, you know? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think just like everything, it's good and bad. You have to have for a negative, there has to be a positive somewhere. There has to be that
guys, let James get in. James was trying to get in a couple times. Oh, yeah. The last, like, 5 minutes, he's been really trying to get in. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I went to school and, you know, first time was a generation of a lot of kids that had divorced parents. And I think I can say with some authority that I think the best likely outcome is for a child to have his parents together and in a relation, you know, like, and be raised that way. And I think that tends to produce more well-rounded children than, just based on my experiences and what I saw and how kids turned out. I mean, the kids love it at the time because they get spoiled and they often stay at home for a long period of time without supervision and stuff. But, like, I do think it does tend to produce the best child when you have two parents, you know, together and in the same house.
If they're happy parents. Not like me, for instance. My parents stayed together until I was 16. Then they split up and I was on my own. So, mute that. Then they split up.
But there's no such thing as a perfect relationship, though.
They were miserable, James. They were fucking miserable, and it caused a lot of problems at my house. It made me fucking not want to listen to a thing either one of them said. And you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I understand. I understand. But
I would have been better off if they would have split up earlier, I think. I don't know.
Possibly so. But then I think some people get divorced, you know, too easily sometimes too, and don't try and work through. I mean, obviously your parents
you know, what do you call it? They hang on to like a string, you know, like they should have just let go, because it's like they just fight all the time. When you just sit there and watch them fight all day long, all they do is fucking scream at each other. It makes you want to just run away. I just used to run away all the time.
For sure.
The freaking cops live on me because I ran away.
I will say this, out of the crew that I hung around growing up, I will say this, that, like, we all hung out, like, I'd say, like, 15 out of, like, 18 or whatever, you know, say, like, all came from, you know, we all had divorced parents or, you know, or what, I don't know, and most of them, a lot of them ended up in jail. My other friends, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying anything was better, because some of these other kids had it worse maybe in other ways, but then the kids that their parents did stay together, they, a lot of them ended up going to college, doing good. I'm just saying, that just seemed to happen around here. I don't know.
Yeah, there's too many variables, I think.
There is.
Yeah, but that just means they did what they were programmed to do.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, most of them are sheeple nowadays, too. But, I mean, a lot of my friends that I grew up with that ended up going to jail and shit are still fucking sheeple. Well, you know what I mean? So
I know a lot of people growing up with who went to college and got degrees, and you know what? I make more money than
you. Everybody I grew up with, we grew up with all their parents are separated. Well, never mind 50%. That's all of them. I mean, I can't think of... Everybody we grew up with that we were close to, from me to Billy to our friend Tim to Scott to everybody, everybody's parents were split up. Everybody. I can't think of anybody whose two parents stayed married. I can't think of one person.
I had two friends, like I said, like two friends out of like my top 15 or so, two friends that parents stayed together. And one of them, the father cheats on the mother still, and the other one, The other one is I don't know, it's kind of weird. He's like an old dude and has like he's like a old gangster and has a young wife. So I don't know, kind of makes, you know. But I don't know. But the rest of us were all fucking, you know, all from divorce, you know, all from single parent homes. And you know what? We were the thing is because we were from single parent homes. Our you know, my mother worked, so I had, you know, time, you know, at my house without anybody there. So, you know, got into the liquor cabinet. Got, you know, I don't know if I would have otherwise at a young age. I don't know, but
yeah, that's the thing that I noticed. A lot of kids with divorced parents, they seem to be left home alone a lot.
My mom worked 3 jobs to support 4 kids by herself, so yeah, and I was the oldest growing up, so yeah.
I think in the old days, people had at least a
I made the rules of the house. I was like in charge. It was, you know what I mean? When you're 12, 13 years old, and you're in charge of everything that goes on. What?
me and my brother were the, you know, same situation. We did what we wanted, and, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, she was there, but, you know, it was also like, you know, it wasn't like when I had two parents there, and I had to worry about my father all the time.
Like,
I couldn't
go bust your ass and make money so we can live in this fucking,
What's the thing, too, it's, you know, because I think generally, I mean, some people's moms are pretty tough, but generally speaking, that male figure tends to be the disciplinarian one. I always know I got away with more when my mum was around than when my dad, you know. So when you're divorced, you're around your mum most of the time, generally, so you probably get away with a bit more because of that, you know. Most people's dads are tougher than their mums, although not always.
I was scared shitless of my father growing up. And then when he left, it was like now I can do what I want, you know.
Yeah,
to be honest.
And I think the male is more suited to the disciplinary role. I mean, I don't know. But
my mom used to whack me with these wooden spoons, and every year, fucking Christmas.
So did mine, but it just didn't hurt very much when she did.
Yo, you know what's hilarious about that? Check this out. My mother used to use a wooden spoon. She used to break them on us, so then she started.
We'd run around and she'd be whacking us, and we'd buy her new ones every year for Christmas for like 3 years running. And then I was like, "Hey, let's not buy wooden spoons anymore." It's her.
Eventually, she gave up though. Don't let him fool you. Yeah. Eventually, she would tell him to go to school. He'd be like, "Fuck you, mom. We just hang out in his room and get drunk and hide all the bottles in his bureau." One day she found them all. There was like a whole bureau full, Justin. Every drawer was full of Mad Dog and 40s.
that sounds like
we were programmed to do this. Easy E told me, like, you know what I mean? real motherfucking G's.
I honestly do think hip hop did mold a lot of us, you know, the way we
yeah,
are.
It was like, let's go get some fucking alcohol. Private stock.
I was an alcoholic, dude. I was a raging alcoholic at 15.
So was I.
You're drinking 40s.
Three times a day going to the pack.
Me too. I was
a mad dog at 40 every time.
Yep.
Three times a day.
No, see, this was my thing. This is, I used to save my lunch money during the week. And I saved my lunch money, right, like when I was like 14. And then on Friday night, right, I used to get two 40s. I used to get like a nickel bag and make someone else, you know, buy or split a nickel bag with somebody, and that was a Friday night. You know what I mean? So make someone buy a Philly, and there you go. Fucking that was a Friday night back in the day.
We didn't really smoke much. We drank more than anything. We drank a lot.
So do you guys think? I don't know what it's like there over here. I guess, you know, most parents try and keep alcohol away from their children until they're 18 or whatever.
That's how it is here too. Do you think
it would be more effective to introduce it at a younger age in a more responsible way?
I tell my kid about everything right away. Like, hey, you want to try this? Okay, you want to try it? Tell me, and we'll try it. If she wants to like do heroin, I'm gonna be like, no. But you know what I mean? Like, if like these things, she's gonna do it anyway. Like, who am I to say no? I mean, I'm gonna tell her, hey, this is how this will affect you, and this will be this or that, and we're like, give her knowledge. But she doesn't want to do any of it either. I think it's because you tell them what's up and what's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why. Yeah, you were smart enough. You're smart enough to not use it. You're not using it right. See, here's the thing. I grew up. My father was a drunk, but I looked at it as being cool. Like when my father left
when I had a stepfather who was a drunk.
So you see what I'm like. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it wasn't cool when he'd come home and fucking look for a scapegoat. But sometimes, like when it was part, you know, like a Friday night and all his buddies or whatever. Like, I used, you know, it was cool, like, watching them all drink. But then, you know, when you get to be, when I got to be that age, and of course, he'd give me a half a beer or whatever when I was, like, 7, 8 years old or whatever. And then, by the time I was 12, I was stealing his beer. And then when he moved out, he left a case of liquor behind. And me and my boys partied for, like, fucking, like, I'd say a good year or two off of it, and then we moved on to my other buddy's house, whose father had the same thing, you know, because just how it was.
A little bit of water.
Well, we didn't bother because my mother didn't care about it. It was in the basement. It was a cooler. She didn't even realize it until finally my brother's graduation party. She wanted to go and get a bottle of because we had a keg for my brother's high school graduation party, and she wanted to go get, you know, some more liquor or whatever, you know, to bring out for the party. And she went to go into this thing, and every fucking bottle was gone, so it took her like 3 years to find it, what's that?
Well, I was just going to say, how much was in the damn thing that lasted you that long?
Oh, there was, I don't know, it was a cooler full of bottles, full of fifths, you know? Lasted us like, if you have a cooler full of...
Well, when you say it lasted you that many years, was that like, how often were you going into
it? Well, no, I mean, it was like, you know, obviously we would try to get booze, but if we couldn't get 40s, then okay, you know? Everybody go to my house hit my father's stash.
They probably had strong shit too, like Tanqueray and shit like that. You can't drink that shit fast, man. That shit'll last a long time. That's how my parents' liquor cabinet was. Have stuff like that in there, and you have a little bit of this one time. Seagram 7 & 7.
Yep, Seagram 7, Seagram's VL, fucking nasty ass rum, you know, just like just shit. Shit that he had for parties, like, you know,
so strong, so strong for a kid, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, at the time, you know, at the time in scotch and shit, you know. So at the time, I was just like, you know, we used to be like meet, you know, we get a couple my boys and a couple girls, and we're more or less, you know, trying to get the girls drunk if anything, and you know, the rest of us are you know, whatever. We're drinking too, but you know, you grabbed a bottle at a time, and I don't know. So I say a bottle a weekend, you know. But then other times, if you had money, you bought your shit. You know, it depends. But yeah.
So
like,
did your dad drink every day?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. The hard liquor wasn't for him. That was for his friends. He only drank beer. He drank beer and wine. So, but he used to drink. He used to drink about a 12-pack a day. On the weekends, you drink a 30-pack, more if not more. You know, a 30-pack, or two cases of beer, something like that.
So how did that affect his liver?
His liver's fine. He's I don't know. He doesn't seem to have any liver problems. I don't know. He don't remember shit though.
Yeah, you see, because you know, we're talking earlier about the relativity of like poisons, and I tend to think alcohol is bad for you, but I don't know that it. I definitely think aspartame's worse. You know, like.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know why? Because at least alcohol is from organic material. You know, at least it's from, you know, and especially if you're just drinking regular, you know, beer. That's, you know, I don't think, I mean, if he, it's not like he was if you're a vodka drunk, yeah, you're going to kill your liver. But if, I don't know, if you're drinking beer, he's probably pissing out every, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in beer that's actually quite good for you, like the barley hops and stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
Makes some sense. B vitamins and stuff. We actually have some locally made beers here that supposedly don't have any really additives or preservatives in them, but I'd imagine all the like big companies stuff their beers full of everything.
Oh, probably, yeah. Wouldn't be surprised. Like anything else, mass produced.
Brian, you were saying as well, you can't drink it from a can, like it tastes horrible, it has to be a bottle.
I like cans, I don't know, I'm white trash like that though.
I like it out of a glass. I think it tastes a lot better. But sometimes people are like, you know, break my balls, as you say, for drinking out of a glass.
To be honest, I like Coors Light in a can. I don't drink a lot though, so that's.
No, not like the rest of us.
No, I'm not a drinker. I smoke my herb. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad for you. There's no two ways about it. I just found it's funny. Some alcoholics seem to get livers, others not. It's like, you know, maybe you know, the other stuff.
You know the weird thing about it, though, James, is because, like, I don't know, later on, it maybe probably because my father, I resent drunks. Like, now, like, I don't know. Like, even, like yeah, when I was a teenager, it was cool. But, like, now, like, if there's, like, even, like, a drunk girl around, I don't know, like, it's annoying to me, you know, or even, like, you know, if my friends are drunk, I'll leave. I don't like being around, like, annoying drunks, you know what I mean? I don't mind if someone's drunk and they can handle their shit, but if someone's sitting there and, like, fucking, you know, like fucking falling all over the place or, like, you know.
Yeah, start, see, I don't get like that. I'm quite a quiet person normally, so it just brings me up to a normal level.
Or like people that, you know, start yelling or starting fights and shit. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. As a teenager, it was cool, you know, in my early 20s, yeah. But nowadays, fucking, someone starts, you know, starts, you know, like fighting, starting problems for no reason and shit. You know, I'm fucking, you know, see you later, bro.
Yeah, well, to me, like, if that person starts a fight, like, that's their fight. I mean, if someone jumps on me, that's fine.
Well, here's the thing. My friends are my friends. I'm always going to help my friends, even if they're wrong. That's how it goes. I'm going to jump in. Even if my friend's a drunk asshole and it does something wrong and someone's beating him up, I'm going to jump in and beat him up, you know, or try my best to. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Right. But, like, if one of my friends is drunk and he picks a fight, like I'm not going to go up to that guy and hit him for him, you know. Like, that's his fight, you know. Like, if it goes wrong, I'll go in and help him. But, like, to me,
I'm not getting for. I'll try to squash it and be like, yo, my boy's just drunk. I'm not copping out, but whatever. But no, most of my friends would have probably already hit him by then. Though I don't know, it's tough.
Of course.
That's another reason I don't go out too much, because, you know, I end up fucking fucking 30-year-old men fucking starting fights at bars and shit. It's like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with yous? I don't know.
You know what you gotta do? You just gotta go in there and say hi to the women. Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Well, yeah, so. that's usually the plan. But you know, something happens.
If you go on in and you have a plan, you have to stick to the plan. The plan usually works. Well, that's why it's a plan. Well, you planned it out. You had a strategy. Go with the strategy.
Drunk people don't follow the plan.
Yeah, you just have to ignore them.
Yeah, that's why they spend so much money.
But Billy, if it's your boy, think about, like, that's what I'm saying. If you go out with your boy, like, hey, we're gonna go out tonight, and all of a sudden he sees someone from 10 years ago that owes him money, or someone that, you know, that whatever, then and all of a sudden he's talking about yo, get my back, I'm about to go snuff this kid, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess so, but I thought we were just going to come out and have a good time, you know? Can't you just...
that would never happen here.
well, then you have to do what you have to do, which is obvious. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, that's why I stay home on the weekends.
To some people getting... And a fight's a good night for them. To other people, it ruins their night. You know.
You guys are talking to Billy, the kid who tried to stitch his own lip together after a bar fight one night.
Oh yeah, I know. That's kind of why you told me all this story. So it's kind of.
Yeah, well, I had a few to drink, and you know, things happen. Things happen.
I always find it amazing how alcohol can change someone's personality.
Like,
totally.
It was like, oh, look at this. It's awful. If I had the right tools, it could have been done. You have to have the right tools for the right job. I didn't have the right needle, so it couldn't be done.
He was standing in the mirror trying to stitch his lip together in the bathroom at his house, dude.
Well,
it was a fucking riot, man. Looking back in retrospect, though, guys, what we know about the medical system, he's probably better off fucking doing it himself.
If I had the right, I could have done it without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you would have got a vaccine for his troubles, probably.
Yeah, they probably would have put something in me. Here you go.
I remember getting two shots at school. I can't even remember what they were for, but I never got anything else. I've never even had so much of the tetanus shot.
This is the measles. Take this.
Oh yeah, he would have definitely had a tetanus shot.
I remember getting the MMR shot. That was one I had, and then they made us get a fucking hepatitis shot or some shit in high school. That's the only ones I've ever had.
Oh, she's infected. Get her out of line.
Yeah, I remember getting a meningitis. I think meningococcal one.
Yeah, that's the one they give you when you go to college. That's the one I was thinking of earlier. Meningitis, that's it.
Do you think that's the one
they said my daughter needs, but when she said she was going to go and study business, which I'm a little disappointed about.
I think those ones might be a genuine attempt. They're probably filled with other stuff. But...
Yeah, they're put something in there.
I don't think those ones are quite as bad as the other ones, but then again, I'm biased. Okay. I don't want them to be.
Yeah, okay. Well, you only peed on my foot, not my whole leg, so it's okay.
Yeah. That's too funny. All right, why don't we take our last break and come back and close it out? We still got to get into that Chechnya fire, and then we'll close it out. How about that?
Well, that won't take long, to be honest.
Nah, that won't take long at all. So we got like probably 20 minutes left in the show. We'll close it out at the top of the hour. So why don't we take our last break right now? All right, everybody, listen to Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. We'll be right back after this quick break. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, we got Bill on the line, and this is going to be our last segment here. I don't know, James, you've been kind of trying to get a word in a lot tonight. Why don't you lead on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, just another echo.
Oh, sorry.
Echo.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this week, there was another... of these high-rise fires that we've seen, you know, so many of in Chechnya. I mean, I say allegedly. I'm pretty sure the story checks out, I mean, I guess, but you never know anything for sure. But a building burned for 29 hours, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Of course, that didn't. It looked like that. The picture I saw looked like the entire structure was engulfed. Like it looked like at least like 30 stories of fire on either side. Yeah, of course, no collapse, not even a partial collapse. So yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, but 9/11, this happened three times, including one building that wasn't, allegedly happened three times, including one building that wasn't allegedly even hit by an alleged plane. But, so, yeah, and I think 56 minutes, you know, the South Tower allegedly was coming down. So just, it's one of those things, you know, it's very basic, it's very, you know, loose change level of that, but you think, you know, if it's so easy for these buildings to collapse from fire, you know, it's like, just give us one more example, you know. It must have been at least 30 of them that I can think of since 9/11. All of them, you know, burned, you know, at least like 10 times as long and, you know, no collapse. So it almost, you know, I almost wonder why they haven't actually tried to deliberately do this again somewhere else just to kind of reinforce this story, but I think it would be too difficult.
No, it would be. And you know what? It just, I don't know. I think it would really be too difficult to show that again. Yeah, I don't know. Continue. I couldn't see him doing it.
Yeah, I think the only way is to like say it happened, but not have any pictures of it. You know.
Right. Right.
But people probably wouldn't buy that if a building burned for, you know, 30 hours and no one took a picture. You know, so.
Yeah, right.
It's just no real way out. There seems to be so many of them since 9/11. You know, I don't recall this being this phenomenon prior to 9/11. We
probably weren't paying attention. That's probably all it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there are obviously movies, you know, like The Towering Inferno, I think, in 75. I think OJ actually was in that movie, if I remember, but had quite a good acting career before all this shit went down, but
the Naked Gun.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was in Roots as well, that slave.
He was in Roots, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Didn't know that.
What black guy wasn't.
Wow.
But
Nate Dogg wasn't.
Before Nate Dogg's time. Nate Dogg was still in sagging his PJs.
yeah, of course. But so yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know sort of how much more we can say on it, but it's just, you know, I mean,
your name is Toby.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I mean, just give us one other example. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not just the fact, I mean, that in theory a building could possibly collapse, but, you know, like, in 56 minutes, you know, I mean, that's...
And it wasn't just one building, like someone, you know, it happened to the next one and the next one, you know, all in the same day. Yeah. It's like, come on.
It's like, right. It's like running a one-minute mile or something. Like, if it could happen, it would take, like, you know, it would have to be deliberately engineered for that purpose, you know. Like, it's just, I mean, it's so old and boring to even get into why jet fuel couldn't do those things, but, you know, just every time there's another fire, it's just reinforced it even more.
We have to mention it, though, you know, because, I mean, that's our job to mention it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just don't know how much we...
Yeah, how much we can elaborate on. I mean, it's common sense. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, like, we all knew that it wasn't going to come down as it was burning. I remember when we first seen the pictures, James, it was only like an hour old or whatever. And then we weren't surprised 29 hours later when it didn't come down, right? That's why they build them out of steel. And if the buildings really did come down on 9/11 from jet fuel and the steel melting, well, wouldn't they stop building buildings out of that material and maybe even tear some down and rebuild them? I mean, come on, man.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it should have been, yeah, as a result of 9/11, there should have been like modifications to building codes worldwide. Yeah. I mean, that firemen would just have policy that they just wouldn't go into buildings that were built of steel, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's like I said to you the other day, I mean, like, you know, let's start a demolition company, you know, we'll go in, we'll knock out a few columns to simulate an airplane crash, we'll start a few fires, and we'll probably be able to demolish a building for under $500, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you know, start a few fires.
Be millionaires overnight, you know?
Yeah.
But of course, it totally wouldn't happen.
No.
Can't happen.
No, absolutely not.
And I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, anyone who still believes that is, you know, pretty stupid, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And not only that, they came down. They could have at least made it, like, take longer. Like, they came down in an hour, allegedly. Like, come on, man.
Wow. Yeah.
They came down in an hour, and you're going to tell me these other buildings can burn for more than a whole day?
And,
like,
and you know, and they started, like, shaking, like a fucking, you know, shaking, and all of a sudden, like, this, you know, I don't know, it's just funny.
Yeah, so the building's perfectly structurally sound, and then the next split second, it's
right.
doom.
And they come down symmetrically, too. It's not even like they just come down. The fires just happen to all burn symmetrically. And, they're so hot, but the Sintron can stand right in the impact hole, you know?
You know what? Like, if the top fell off to, like, a side or something, like, or pieces were falling off the top, and then, you know, like, I could see that, but, like, I really don't buy how anyone believes the fucking pancake collapse theory that happened on all three buildings, you know, like, exactly the same exact way on those... I don't know.
The best way you get them, Justin, is they'll tell you, oh, yeah, well, no, these other fires aren't the same because airplanes didn't hit them. And then you say, okay, well, what about Building 7? Huh?
Yeah, exactly. they don't know about it. No, but then when you show them that, there are some people, and as much as, like, anyone can look at that and see that was a demolition, it had, you know, they'll still just, you know, be like, well, you know, they'll just... Their programming kicks in, and, like, you know, they don't want to seem like they're that, like, you know. I don't know. I've changed people's minds by showing it, but I have had a few friends that saw it and were like, it could happen, you know. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think you're living in the same fucking physical world, you know.
Well, it's just how, like, those building fires, like, the building is burning, like, ridiculously. You can see the flame all over the place. Like, these 9/11 thing, like, it's, you can't even see the fire. Like.
I know. That's the thing. On Building 7, there's, like, a little bit of smoke coming out of it, and, like, maybe they show, like, maybe a flame coming out of one window or something, and they're trying to say, like, the whole building was engulfed. This is a 56-floor building? 56 stories, something like that.
Exactly, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, that's a big part too about, you know, like, all these people supposedly jumped, like, you know, and there's no fire, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it does bring the jumpers into dispute, but you need a lot more than that. The jumpers are what people really hang on to, because it's the only death they saw.
Right, right. That's why they had to show those. You know, that's why they had to fake the, you know, the show jumpers, because that more than anything is what made Americans so pissed off and so upset was that, oh my God, those poor people, they really had to decide either to burn alive or die of smoke, you know, in smoke inhalation, or jump out of a building. What would you, you know, and that's what they were, you know. Go ahead, you know what I mean. That's how they got everybody with the, you know, people yeah. wanted to fucking put Muslims on a fucking on a spit and put them on a fire after that. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's like. You know, but they decided, well, if I'm going to end it, I might as well take a running start and try and break the long jump record. 50 yeah, feet out from the tower. But I've noticed they really don't show those videos anymore. Particularly the playing, you know, like, there was a period of a few years where they used to show them ad nauseum over and over again. They never really show them anymore. I just think, because, you know, with all the high-definition TVs now, and, like, I just think it would look so terrible.
Only on the anniversaries they show them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm used to watching them on the YouTube, and people say, "Oh, the quality looks bad because, you know, it's a compressed video," but they really don't look any better on the DVDs.
No.
And all.
Maybe like a tiny bit, but still nowhere near the.
Yeah, some of them look okay, like some of the ones that were released years later, like those YouTube pages, I think, Iran, Contra, Scum, whatever, you know, these released a lot of videos. They do look a bit better, but they didn't come out for years afterwards.
Yeah, well, we're just beating a dead horse with that. I mean, I think everybody that's listening to us knows that, you know, that story is a bunch of bullshit. And obviously, you know.
You would hope.
Yeah, I would hope so if they made it this far, that they would know that by now. But I don't know, guys. Anything else we want to address before we close it out tonight? We've been on for like 5 hours straight now.
No, I'm pretty much out of talking. I did a good amount of fucking blabbing tonight, so.
What about you, James? Anything else?
Yeah, just wanted to say, I was just reading something before. It's interesting. You made a point about the bees before.
Yeah.
I was also reading something the other day that said a lot of people don't know that just window glass kills apparently a billion birds every year. And nobody cares about that, you know.
Well, we have millions of birds still, though. That's the thing.
Bees are more essential to what we need for the food chain and everything.
Oh, yeah. It's funny how people only care about, like, people only seem to care about those things when they're close to extinction, you know, like, or it starts to affect you. People don't care about cruelty, like, a lot of people do, like, you know, they don't.
Well, you know what, though? Most people don't care about the bees still. That's the thing, you know. So, I mean, I don't know if you go to the bird thing, I just look at it like, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? It's going to happen when you have fucking cities with buildings with windows.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing you can do, I mean. But just like, people take that same stance, but, like, I was thinking before when you were talking about all my, like, religious friends I have, like, you know, they're supposed to be all about all this stuff, but, you know, I noticed they all have the latest iPhones, and even though people are jumping out of buildings to make them, it's like, you know, you don't care about that, you know, like.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, there you go right there. That's something right there that should, because, you know, that's human beings as well. It's not like it's a dumb animal that flew into a building, you know what I mean? It's a person that is stuck in a job that they're only doing either because they're forced to or because they have no other options to make a living, and the situation is so shitty they're jumping out of the window. And the fact that, I don't know, I really would have problems owning an Apple product unless, like, somebody gave it to me. You know, obviously if I have no computer and someone's gonna offer me an Apple, I'm not gonna say no. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or if someone's selling to me dirt cheap, you know, at Basehead discount or something, I'm obviously going to buy it, because I'm broke. But if I had, like, money and had the choice between buying that or buying another product that's not made with slave labor, I would buy the, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to show it off as a status symbol, though, like.
No, right, right.
And that's the thing, you know, like, at least acknowledge it, you know, like, you know, people died to make that thing, you know, like. They just don't even know. They don't have a clue.
No, you're right.
Well, all right. I guess that's pretty much it. Anything else, James?
No, that's pretty much it. Nothing.
All right. Well, yeah, we went for 5 hours, but I really liked tonight's show. I mean, we did the food for like 2 hours, so that was good to do that, you know? I'm kind of glad we didn't really have that many listeners tonight, but I mean, I'll post the archive everywhere and all the groups.
Yeah, I mean, all the regulars will catch that archive, I'd say.
Yeah, just we went on an odd night. We never go on the weekend, so I'm sure they'll all catch it. And I'll check the numbers on it, who's downloading it and whatever. But all right. So on that note, I guess we'll close it out. I want to thank everybody for listening. What's up? Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank Bill for stopping by, and he added a lot to the conversation tonight. I think the four of us had a pretty good roundtable discussion. That's all I just wanted to say. I just wanted to put my two cents in on the night, and wanted to thank the caller / guest / Bill. So that's all.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely good stuff. You got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, peace in the Middle East. Make love, not war.
Good luck on that.
All right.
All right, everybody. Listen to Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, James Sloan. We had Bill on the line tonight. It's already Saturday, so I'm not sure if we'll be back Wednesday, but at least by next Wednesday we should be back. But if you just caught the tail end of the show or whatever, you can find it in the archive. It'll be up by tomorrow after I cut it and save it and everything and upload it.
You know what? You should play this Wednesday night at our normal time.
Yeah,
and just tell them, like, you can't call in. You know, that's all.
Yeah, that's what I plan on doing. That's what I'll do. Plus, I'll put the archive, you know, all over the place. So, yeah, I guess that's it. So, thank you everybody for listening, and have a good night.